When I was a youngster, a friend of mine's sibling was going through a divorce. I was a little kid. I knew nothing about marriage or divorce. I never heard of divorce in my life. And a friend of mine's sister is going through a divorce. And as a youngster, he would describe his brother-in-law was an animal, an absolute animal, a horrible day. I was a little seventh grader, very, very trusting. That just was my nature. I believed people. And he told me like crazy stuff. I was stinking. I didn't know there were such animals in the world. Like, mamish, crazy gay. The craziest, sickest abuser. It was like crazy. I was a seventh grader. It was like very scary to hear. And it just was the truth because my friend told me. Years later, I was an older teenager and I met the gay. And I met him pretty, in a decent way, he was a pretty good gay. Now, I still don't know behind closed doors. What I've learned in years later is there's always the two sides to a story. There are two sides, there are two perspectives. I have people upset at me. I have people upset, they have a taina on you. You have your narrative of the story. You have your version of what happened. You have a certain perspective. Understand that somebody has a different perspective. Now, there is an objective truth. I'll give an example. When I went to Eretz Yisrael, I grew up, I took English secular studies quite seriously. I did well in my secular studies. I was in a school that took it seriously, and I took it seriously. My mother's a historian. My mother knows history cold. And she, and my whole family were curious, and I always had, I liked math, but history, like today, I'm not the most into history, but I like noticed what was being taught. I learned the American Revolution quite well and could tell you details of what happened. It's a crazy story. When I got to Eretz Yisrael and I met guys from England, I promise you they have a different story than us. In a real way, I advise you, if you have a friend from England, if you don't get one, and ask him the story, I promise they learn it different. Now, if you think they're learning it wrong, they're told. No, we're told. There's two perspectives on this story.
My father said they don't teach it there.
They teach it different. They teach it different. Your father's from England?
Yeah.
It's interesting. I met English people who've learned it and learn it different. Now, to say we're right, we have our version. You can imagine the story. They were a colony of England. To us, we learn these oppressors, and they shed the oppressors. They learn the most disloyal. We were disloyalists who rebelled against the country who was good to them. Ingrates, disloyalists who were murderous. They have their own version. I like America. I'm American. I'm not coming to say who's right. I'm coming to say that there are two narratives. In your life, you always want the objective truth. There isn't, I'm not saying everything's subjective, subjective's opinion. There's an objective truth. You have to be willing to hear the objective truth. To everything, I have a disagreement with somebody who's upset at me. I happen to understand how they see it. I can't say it's 100% the way I see it. 100%? You made no mistakes? It's not a little, there's not some point of a different way of seeing it. Healthy people are able to understand that there are two ways to see it. They're able to gain a perspective closer to the objective truth, not their own narrative of things. Because we all have bias to create a narrative. The most unhealthy people live in their own delusions of truth, that they created a story and they're like totally... By the way, God created marriage, that your wife will tell you some truths. God created children. Children are gorgeous. My kids saved my life because they say things, and I don't just say, well, hey, I get to open up to another truth. The guys in yeshiva have saved my life. Because I like in yeshiva's a place, and the better we've gotten, the more guys are open to pull you aside and say, I'm upset at you. And you don't just humor people and say, hey, the kid, no, he's saying something. And you ask questions, somebody's saying something. And you gain a healthier perspective of truth. By the way, on a court, in halacha, on a court, this is our Torah. On halacha, on a court, if you're paskening, if a guy's chayiv misa, If every single judge says the guy is guilty, 70 for 70, say the guy is chayiv misa, what's the halacha? He doesn't get killed. Because you don't have the truth. Because there was no opinion that said different. But I don't get it. The guy murdered in front of the 70. He walked into court with a loaded shotgun and blew off the head of somebody in court. So all 70 are going to say guilty. They saw him murdered. You don't kill the guy. Because there's not one person who's saying maybe it was self-defense. Maybe he felt his life threatened. And if nobody argues, you don't have the truth. You don't have a sense of perspective. There's room to say, I know he walked into the court and blew somebody's head off. Maybe he felt threatened. Maybe he felt his life was on the line. There's no sense of perspective, of honesty, of truth. The biggest thing all of us have is to try to live our truths. When we speak in yeshiva that we're into emotions and feelings, that's a bunch of hogwash. We're into the truth. When you don't admit you're hurt and you act not that way, you're lying. It's not about emotions, whatever. It's about honesty. What I have learned from the guys is if you're insulted, say you're insulted. Call out the truth. Otherwise, you create narratives that fit what you want and you live an absolute lie on your own narratives. You could build a whole life on lies. That's so sad. You're so out of touch with the truth. I believe God made, I have the wildest chiddush, God made a world that works. By the way, if you're hurt, cry. If you're insulted, be insulted. If you're sad, be sad. Feel what you feel and process. Be in the truth. Be in what's happening. Don't create new realities. Don't create new things and new visions. Find out the truth and plug into the truth. We're all the human capacity from the very beginning of time. The human capacity to create an alternative truth is the scariest thing about us. When you see people to the extreme that create alternative truths, that have a picture that they invent, you can make fun of that person. You can say, what a crazy person. They create an alternative truth. And you can make fun of the person. You're watching in the world people in colleges ripping Israel and creating, it's chilling, creating like an alternative truth. Literally creating, instead of just saying sickos there, understand that's the capacity of the human being. You and I are capable of creating alternative truths. The most important thing to me in the world is to live the truth. It says, Chaysamei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emetz, the signet of Hashem is truth. When you live truth, you're successful. I never get scared. Guys say, Rebbe, I'm upset at God. I doubt is good. Okay, great. So you're living your truth. If you're living, it's when you're creating, making up, saying, building something that's just distant from your truth. There are guys in yeshiva who sit down with a friend who's struggling with addiction. Addicts create alternative truths. That's like the pirish of an addict. And they end up making, well, I'm angry. There are addicts who leave their wives. I'm angry. I don't like her anyway. No, you're addicted to something and you just rebuild your whole life around an alternative truth. Instead of calling out, something's owning me. I'm out of control. You make things up. You recreate. An addict can go through a crazy addictive experience. And instead of owning up and figuring out, he'll create new realities from his experience. He'll say what a good experience it was and create new realities built around. The healthiest thing is to find out the truth. I've seen groups of friends sit down, a friend, and open up, not to shame him. Shaming doesn't work. To say we want to share as friends a reality we're seeing about you, a reality. And trying to get the friend. Now the friend will resist it. To trying not to shame him. Not to shame him in the slightest. To actually give him a sense of the truth. By the way, he's lucky he has good friends willing to do that. I've seen guys in yeshiva have asked me, we want to sit three friends with, and we want to try to pull a guy into the world of reality. Reality of him out of control, of him not dealing with things. And he said the behaviors we're experiencing around him. By the way, one day your wife's going to call him to the world of reality. One day kids, successful and healthy people take into account and learn an objective reality. There was a very, very wise person a guy who's known, if a lot in yeshiva, guys know the body keeps the score in this type of therapy. It's a very honest world of figuring out here. The body keeps the score. So one of the smartest guys, I think, in the world, was being interviewed by a Rav. And he was talking about our ability to lie to ourselves, / addiction. He was talking, and he said, what's the answer? And the guy was so cool. I was waiting for, like, this guy's brilliant, and he spews brilliance. And I shouldn't say spews. What comes out of his mouth is intelligence. He's an honest person, appears to me. And they said, what's the answer? And the guy said the simplest thing, listen to your friends. Really pay attention to what your friends tell you. It was so, like, simple. And be open to what your friends tell you. If they're telling you something, your room, and a friend looks at you with no bias and says something to you, don't push it away. Don't just create an alternative reality. If people around you and loved ones and people who care are upset and are saying, don't push it away. Don't push it away. Sit in the reality. Ask yourself, what are they saying? What truth can I connect more to? The best people in the world, we want to connect to Hashem. We're wired to connect to Hashem, the human being. Chaysamai shalakosh baruchu emes. The signet of Hashem is true. From a place of truth, from a place of honesty. We're human, we have flaws. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of flaws. Don't be shamed by mistakes. No problem. Connect to emes. Get to a place of emes. From a place of emes, we could solve so much. We could connect to God from that place of truth. So I want, it's interesting. We're between Lashon Hara and Musar and doing both. A lot of Lashon Hara is your own perspective, your perspective that you're not even entitled to, that's none of your business, your perspective on that. Learning to gain a healthy sense of truth, a healthy picture, not your own bias, your own story, your own concocted story. Learning by speaking to friends, by listening to Teichach. It says one of the kinyanei atayra, one of the acquisitions of Torah is oyev es ha-teichach, is loving rebuke. When I was younger in yeshiva and somebody, before I was impacted by the guys, by Hudi, by Avi, by the guys here, by Shlomo, when I was younger and I wasn't the Talmud yet of this yeshiva, people would knock Waterbury. I hated it. I promise, I was like, inside, being honest, it was like just like, oh, I felt like aggression. Today, I hate it, a part of me. It's not fun to be knocked. It's not fun somebody gives a good grip on the yeshiva. And today, a part of me loves it. Because I want to ask myself that question. I want to hear another perspective. Because I want to, of course, we're flawed as a school, as a yeshiva, of course. So it's so cool. Please, let's think about it. Let's be objectively true, not subjectively true. So let's hear another opinion. Let's invite, get up. A guy once threatened me the last night. He said, everybody says nice thing, I'm going to rip. He said, please get up and rip. Say why your experience. I wasted time. I was allowed to do nothing. Please get up and do it. I beg. The last night, get up. Get up the last night. I beg. I invite any single guy. Speak from the heart. Say why your experience was terrible. Excellent. Excellent. It will stink and it will be great because it would be your truth. Say your truth. Say your truth. Truth is good. Truth is good. It hurts. We're human, but it's good. One of the kinyanei atayra is ayev es ha-teichach, is to love rebuke. I ask myself, who likes rebuke, who doesn't? People who are insecure, who feel schlugged up. They're like, tiyuvta, the person tiyuvta. So rebuke is like, they can't. I beg the love in the yeshiva, the fact that we validate each other and we hold we're good. You're good no matter what, allows for a place you can rebuke. You could tell off. Our being good is not dependent. Great to see you, Binyamin. Welcome home, Binyamin Busani. Welcome home, welcome home. Our goodness is not dependent. It's not like, if we made a mistake, then we made a mistake. We're good. We're good. Objectively, we're good. We're good because God wants us and loves us and decided we should be here. That makes us good. And then be in a place, hear rebuke. Hear a different way. The only way, the 48 kinyanei atayra are not possible ways to get tayra. They're the only ways to get tayra. Ayev es ha-teichach, you have to love it. You don't even love rebuke. It hurts to get rebuked. It hurts to somebody to tell you, especially if it's true, it stings. It's so hard. How can I ever come to Oyves HaTeichachos? I love Musar. I love being rebuked. It's not Musar Seder here when we talk Torah. This Torah, there's nothing to do with Musar. I'm talking about somebody tells you off. Somebody says, Kalish, you do this, it's wrong. It hurts. And especially when they're right, as they often are. So it hurts. So how can you ever come to Oyves HaTeichachos? I love rebuke. It doesn't say you're Mekabel. You're Mekabel, you accept, you have to love it. And I promise we're capable. There's a part of us that seeks the truth, and we're capable of liking Teichacha. Like, thank you. That meant a lot. You taught me something. I'd be so in the dark without your rebuke. It's like pathetic. We're capable of such a sincerity, such a self-esteem, such a pursuit of authenticity, that somebody says something, a part of us cannot like it. We all have parts. But a part could say thank you.
Is there a way to know if there's something you like shouldn't say to somebody? Like, it's like, it might like hurt them, but like, you feel like it's the truth?
It's a great question. It's a great question. Yassel asks, it's something very true. Like, I'm describing a scenario, a friend sitting with a friend and telling the truth. There's a time not to. I'll tell you what's interesting. I'm speaking right now just from the heart. Obviously, it's on my mind and something important. I want to tell you, Yassel, everything's hashgacha. We're headed right before Rosh Chodesh. It's in the middle of the first Adar, second Adar. My background, my Rebbe who gave me life, right, Per, my Rebbe, Yechiel Yitzchak Ben Leia, Shev Refuah Shleimah, Shev long, long years, and affected my life. His wife is a great-granddaughter of the Alter Nevardik. In Nevardik, twice a year in Adar, fascinating that it's Adar, twice a year they had a system in the yeshiva that friends would go into a room, four friends, and three friends would tell the fourth guy what they felt real. They did it in Elul and Adar, fascinating. And they would tell the friend, real. They would tell you, pick your nose, and it's very, you have a certain odor, your breath doesn't smell. They would tell them real things. They weren't trying to rip. They liked each other. They would be honest. Good friends, and would get honest with each other. They would say, you have a habit, you do this, and it's hurtful, you should know. They were not trying. They were asking each other, and three guys would be honest. I don't say to try it in the dorm. I don't say it has to be done smartly. People have to, Yassel asks, when do you, when don't you? That needs work, Yassel. Because Kishem said that it's a mitzvah to say davar anishma. The Gemara says the same way it's a mitzvah to say something that a person will listen to, so too you commanded not to say something that won't be listened to. So Yassel's right, it needs work. I'm not prepared to give a course when you say, when you're not. I'm not talking about the giver of the advice, Yassel. I'm talking about us of receivers. I'm saying to us, my dream, and I don't say, I'm not demanding you be today. I'm not saying, be today that person who can hear rebuke. This is a process. I'm saying to do work on ourselves to become secure enough, healthy enough, passionate enough that we're good, secure enough that we're good, that we're capable of hearing Teichacha. It's one of the Kinyanei HaTorah. It's one of the 48 things necessary to be a Torah person. People learn topics in their life. It's funny, in a school, if you speak about Kibbutz Ave'im, you make the whole school uncomfortable. There are topics you know. You talk Kibbutz Ave'im, because who's could get up and say, I respected my parents the right way? We all have our deficiencies and our challenges, one of the hardest things in the world. So you talk about, people love like making themselves good in that topic. How cool is it to say that I'm good and I'm good even my deficiencies and I can actually hear about something I'm weak and I'm gonna work towards. I'm good, I'm not schlugged up. It's just something I wanna work towards and I wanna figure out. And there's a lot of resolving and figuring out to really get to that mitzvah b'shleimus, but I'm secure enough to talk an uncomfortable topic. When people talk about being timely and these type of things, if Aaron David comes to our gathering, he's this prince and malach of a yid, speaks about being on time to davening. Everybody in the room knows. Kayla, she's like supposed to be like, we call him the menal, and he struggles trying to be more on time. It's not to push away and to call it something else. There's a struggle that I'd like to work towards. That's it. And we're human beings working towards. It's good for us to have teichacha, to have rebuke. Don't create a shita. Don't make an alternative reality. Don't do any of that. Don't do that. It's tempting to make alternative realities. The human being is full of that. People create their own realities in order not to. Instead, we could say we're a work in progress. But learning to listen to friends, learning to listen to a spouse, learning to listen, and people tell you off. Learn to love it. Learn to embrace it. Learn to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's hard. We're not pretend. It will sting and it will feel good. Thank you. Wow. Wow. What can I learn from this? What can I pick up from this? Thank you for telling me off. That means a lot. It's a difficult madrega, but if the Mishnah says that you're required to be aves atoichachais, to love rebuke, if the Mishnah says you're required to love rebuke, I have seen people so built into lying, so built into alternative reality, I don't say it's scary on them. I say we're capable of that. And to work towards a sense that we're living a truth, that we're plugged into a truth, to an objective truth. One day in your own life, you will have situations, you'll have your perspective, she has hers. Don't be so silly to only see your, by the way, on a team, you're on a team. You'll have your perspective of what's supposed to be and he has his. Understand there's another perspective than yours. There's another way to see it outside. It will be obvious to you. It's like crazy to think another way, and another person will think another way. I ask not to not have a perspective. Of course you have a perspective. To respect somebody else and try to say, what can I learn? Can I? And by the way, to everything, my perspective is 100% truth. Perfect. Maybe there's what to glean from another perspective. The people that are capable of like absorbing multiple perspectives. You'll watch in a gym. And people could be livid at the ref. That's a perspective. And it's cool you have a perspective. It's crazy. His mom is cheating. But the other, another person watching, he refed a very good game. No. Now, you're silly if you're not interested. Ask another person, did you see it that way? Now, get a person who's not afraid of you. Say, I think you were wrong. I think you were wrong. You were, like, convinced. That was the most horrible. The ref cheated. Another person sees me, refed a very good game, very fair. You were in one perspective. You might have a bias. And I'm not saying not to have a perspective. I'm not saying not to even be passionate. I'm saying to be eyes open, that we have biases, to look into them, to think about it. You ever play sports is the best place to bring this out. The best place to bring this out. A guy hits a ground ball to short, throws to first. Every single guy in the field will swear the guy was out at first. Honest people. Every guy in the home team, he was safe. It's the stupidest call. And they have the bias there. Understand their perspectives. Smart people weigh it. Think about it. I had a story in this yeshiva. Guys were playing softball when we were on the other side. When we were in Waterbury, guys were playing softball. And I like softball a lot. And that game, I came a little late. They gave me the shtela. I was the ump, and I caught. I catch. I have a big sheet in softball. I play a different softball in the world. We're going to have a softball league. It has to be efficient. Especially, they put a clock in. Guys today want to get out the efficiency. So by me in softball, the next guy up, no dilly, the between innings, no throwing the ball. I'm tough. The game runs and it moves. I put in a clock before Major League Baseball copied Waterbury Baseball. Me and Johnny, we're playing, then we're playing. Between innings, guys flying the ball around. The game doesn't have. Let's get to the game. The game could be solid. So I'm very into. Now, a lot of times they put a catcher, a guy who can't catch, who can't field. That ruins the game. The guy you catch has to be a good athlete. You think, what's the difference? At home, the pitcher will cover him. Because between every play, the ball rolls the best. That ruins the game. So by me, the catcher can catch. If a guy can't field well, he should practice till he can field well and then join the game. You have to be able to field. That's just necessary for softball. So a guy should be adequate that he can. If a catcher, every time it rolls by him, it ruins the flow of the game. Because every pitch, the ball's like people are chasing it. The catcher has to have. So I was reffing and catching for the guys. I, Baruch Hashem, could catch. Most balls don't go by me, so I catch it. And the game has a flow. It keeps the flow of the game going. Fielders end up fielding better. There are studies to this. The pitchers who pitch more efficiently, fielders literally field better because they stay focused. The ball flies around. The game will be a worse game. There'll be more errors. It's pushing like that because the play, the right fielder is long. Like the game, just everything's ting. I like the catcher. Catches, fires back. That's what I hope. So I'm at this game, and why I put this all in, just a T4 that I'm a good catcher. Bottom line is the is the catcher. I was catching and I was reffing the game. I was umping. In baseball, they call it umping. I'm umping the game. There's a true story. It was a tie game, a crazy game. And the last play of the game, I kid you not, the guys, it could be John, who's, I don't know who was there from his years ago. A guy, the last play of the game, the left fielder fires home. I'm catching for both teams. The guy slides in, bang, bang play. I promise I flipped over. I landed on my head. He took me out. The guy slid home. It was the closest play in the whole game. Did they win? It would have been tied. Was he safe or out? And I was like fielding. I don't... And it was a bang, bang play at the plate. A guy slid home, ball, guy, me, came at once. He took out my feet. I ended up, I banged my head. And I have to make a call. Is he safe or out? I honestly do not remember what I called. I don't remember. My point being, I don't remember what I called, what I thought. I don't remember. I just remember the play. It's not like me in sports. I usually remember. That's my warped mind. Remember sports. I honestly, it could be with such a major debacle, like a whole fight. Was he out? Was he safe? In baseball, this happens. Understanding you have your perspective and there's another perspective. I have watched guys in yeshiva be livid at the refs, and you ask a guy in the sideline, not a guy who's pandering to you, and he says they refed a very good game. You had your perspective, and you're entitled to your perspective, but you're silly if you don't ask and find out, especially if you get upset a lot. Ask somebody, am I just stuck in my own reality? Now, sometimes you have a good point. The refs are something, they're not perfect, and I'm not trying to mitigate strong opinions, because that would be silly to say to a human being, never be strong. I'm asking to say, pursue truth. Tzedek, tzedek, tirdoy. Pursue truth. Pursue it. Care about the truth. Be open to hear another perspective. Be open to say you might not be what is so. There are guys who think they played a great game and their teammates think he didn't play a good game. I won the game. I don't know. Did you set up the other guy? Were you? What did other people see? Be open to an objective truth. You might not. And by the way, you might be 80% right. You might be 64. Be open. Listen, it's the fun of life. Now, doesn't mean not to have a strong opinion. Again, it's cool to have strong opinions, but Oyev Esa Toichacha says you love to hear another side. Toichacha is another person's way of looking, because I want the truth. More than I want to be right is I want the truth. I want to live right. I want to grab the emes. Every guy here is going to have children. Your children are going to see things different. Be open to it. Love rebuke. Now, is your kids' jobs to give you a rebuke? No, their job is to live their life. In living their life in the same house, it's going to come out as some toichacha because they're going to see things different. Be open. Be open. Expand. Expand. Oyev esa toichacha is a tenai necessary for Torah. There's an objective emes that we're shayach to tap into. When you meet people that disagree with you, listen. Hear, absorb, ask, expand, and grow. You might be right. You might be 64% right. You might be 89%. You might be 99%. Are you 100% right? Usually not. Usually there's something, somebody, and maybe you're 100% right. Maybe, but be open. Be open. If you're always 100% right, then you're probably 0% right. But if you happen to hit it once, learn to hear, learn to see another perspective. That's the healthiest thing in the world, to see, to be a person who incorporates other perspectives. We want a wild pursuit of objective reality. And seeing people that are capable of totally lying and creating a subjective reality should frighten us all into what we're capable. The human being is capable of that. Whenever you see a Russia, you see evilness. Now you're like, freaky. So Haman is so. We have Haman. Haman is not. Haman means a human being. It's in us. We don't learn about Haman something that's not in us. It's in us. It always interested me that it says Haraya Saita B'Kulkula. A sight is from the lowest people on earth. A sight is a girl who is disloyal to her husband. Bad person, really. She's the deepest disloyalty. Says Chazal, if you see her destruction, so start working on yourself. Work on the instinct to see a sight is to say, what a sicko. And what does the Torah HaKadosh say? If Hashem made you see that Yazir Atzman Ayayin, stay away from wine. You don't say the sophisticated perspective is not what a sicko, she's nuts. Say, I see human beings, that's in me. That lives in me also. I also have disloyalty. I also see, you know what, I'm being more careful about Yayin. Yayin are all the things, the physical things that own us and take away our objective reality. And you see the Saita B'Kalkula, you see a person who's lost objective reality, you know what you say? I'm also capable of that. Where in my life could I be mechazik to keep reality, to keep truth, to keep honesty, not to be owned? That's what you're supposed to do. The sophisticated person doesn't see Haman and Achashverosh and just laugh. It says about Rishayim that Haim Birshus Libam, they are owned by their emotions. It means they create subjective realities. They create. Haman lived in a different world than you and I live. He lived in a tremendous world, but we're capable also. We're human. We also have times we create new realities. Tzadikim is Libam Birshusam. Their hearts, their own perspective on emotions are batal Birshusam to an objective reality, to Emes. What's Emes? What's the truth? They don't create their reality after their lave. Their lave goes after what the reality is. It says the contrast in the Megillah, and we'll yet study the Megillah, is Sadikim, who libam birshusam, and Rishayim, fehem birshus libam. That's the world of people who, based on their own emotions, create new realities. People are excellent at that. We're amazed. We all have, I promise you, you and I have that in us, to create our own realities. We don't look in the mirror. I have seen people, I've called guys out in relationship, being angry at a girl, and it was your own insecurity. I've called guys in our chabura out. A guy's complaining, we're engaged, we're married, and he's talking about his own insecurity. But he's creating, because of his own insecurity, pressuring her, and saying things, she does this, she talks to this. It's bringing up, it's in you, not in her. You're creating a new reality because now, so what's the answer to that? Listen to friends, talk to friends, and be open-minded. If your friends say something, and friends who care, who are unbiased, say something, pay attention. It's the beauty, love, rebuke. Listen, hear, absorb. A guy could tell you who's mad at you, a guy in the dorm who you don't, says something and he's upset at you, a guy is smoking up in your room and he's saying something. And by the way, you can learn something. You can hear something, he's just mad, and he just learned to listen, to love rebuke, to be interested in an objective reality. The most successful people, the most have strong opinions, they work towards MS and they want the truth. Because the truth, Hashem's truth works. I'm repeating, I'm preaching to the choir. I'm preaching, you know, there's an expression, preaching to the choir, when you talk to people who are already good at something and you tell them that, you're like preaching to the choir. Here I'm not preaching to the choir, I'm preaching from the choir. This is what if I had to sum up what I've learned from the guys here, I'm like describing it. The honesty that I see dominating in yeshiva from people like want to know the truth. No. And I'm willing to say I'm wrong, I'm secure enough. I would say the whole model of the yeshiva, of a truth, of that a person, unconditional love, you love no matter what, allows for an honesty. The whole yeshiva is worth it for the honesty that's created. One day with our own children, unconditional love, I love you no matter what. No but. I love you, my son. An unconditional love allows for such an honesty. I could have it for myself, and in that place, I could actually like be honest about stuff and seek objective truths. There is an objective truth to situations. Seek it. Seek it. Don't assume you have it. Tzedek tirdif. Run after justice. Run after what's true. That's what I want to share with the guys. I want to say in the sugyas of Lashon Hara, we're supposed to be learning about Lashon Hara, I'm in a speech about truth. I don't want to do an untruth and stop it in. I think a lot of the sugya of Lashon Hara is people giving their own perspectives in ways that they're not called for. It's not their business, not their place to give perspective. And if I had to say, like somebody asked, a visiting man stopped Yair Cohen, and he said, I heard you guys learn in the afternoon laws of Lashon Hara. He said, I don't get it. Got a very intelligent man came this afternoon, some met him. He said to Yair Cohen, he said, I don't get it. How would you hold back? Like, you want to say something about people. It's like the most normal thing. How wouldn't you knock? How would you bite your lip? He said, what does that look like? So Yair Cohen said that when you are satisfied with self, it has to be self-acceptance. He said, you accept yourself. You don't have an interest in bashing him. There's a reason you're bashing him. I thought that was dazzling. He did not think of that on the spot. His own journey is like, when you knock somebody else because your own flaws, self-accepting, I'm good. Why would you want to bash somebody? What does it have to knock him for it to put him down for? Self-acceptance. So when we have that deep self-acceptance, we're capable of like striving for objective truth. When we're insecure, then just the way we see it, I don't want to hear something else. I'm worried it will slug me up. I just beg the guys in our own journeys of life. You'll get married one day. Learn to hear a different perspective. Learn, like, absorb it, hear it, see it, feel it. Like, ask yourself, not always, she should change this. She should. Where's my place in this? What can I learn? How can I improve? How can I, with your own children one day, objective reality, love teichacha, love rebuke, love another perspective. I don't, Yassel asks, and it's like a question that, like, I don't know the answer. The last night of yeshiva, many things come out. The conversations in dorm rooms are dazzling. Guys will say, I spoke to a certain friend, and like, and a guy who loved me and respected me no matter what, but he pointed something out. There's, you get, not tons, you get a fair amount of that. I love those honest conversations. So Yasla, I don't know the answer. Certainly our friend first has to know of a deep acceptance. If it's coming as an attack, it's very unlikely to work. It's coming from places not of love, it's unlikely the person will accept it. When somebody looks up the face and really does love us, now we can say, now it challenges, well, you love me? That's a subjective truth you're putting on. When it comes from a place of love, usually a guy says, I hear. I've had guys in yeshiva murmuring about a bacher that his feet smell. And it bothers me that more guys, somebody doesn't go up and walk with his friend and give honesty. I love you, and I'm not like, I'm your friend, and I really care, and I want to say that you have an odor that comes. I want to say as a friend, it's hard for me to do this. But I actually want you to be successful, and I don't want your wife one day, and kids, and other people. I think that's magical, somebody could do that. The only place, Yassel, is the person knows I'm just motivated because I'm your friend. You know, and if you're never going to talk to me again, I really feel this is good for you to hear. But do you match it with compliments? If it's an agenda of hurting somebody, so of course it won't work. If it's from a place of legitimate care, so I've had conversations with guys and shared that doesn't you have. Not tell Rav Ezi privately. Don't say public.
Yeah, why do you have to do that?
But. But these type of conversations are magical. Are very. It takes a person who wants the truth. And if we could say on a friend, he's Eves Atoychachos. This guy loves rebuke. Wow, what a guy! If we could say on a friend in an honest way. In an honest way, he loves rebuke and appreciates it. Like, I could look at guys here. I've been at conversations with guys here together with two or three friends, and we've told people, and the people accept. I think this place, one of the beauties of our chabur is we're towards this. To say we're good at it, we have people that aren't, we alter it, but we're towards Eves HaToychach, is really liking rebuke. Somebody could tell us, like, honest, a guy could tell us, could look us in the face, and he said, thank you. I wanted to hear that. I needed to hear that. I appreciate you telling me that, like in a real way. I could say on many guys, it's like funny to single out a guy. I like speaking out a guy because I like speaking out a guy. Not. I like speaking out because I think when you picture it, you're like, I know what you mean. I could talk about a concept, but it's in the luft. It's in the air. It's theoretical. I'm picking out a guy.
As long as the guy who speaks.
No, I'm not going to do it. In Abbas Atoichachai's person, a person or this guy wants rebuke. Tell me, I'm interested. I'm going to say a name. You tell me if you agree. I should play with Hudi. I should say a name and see if we're mechaben to the same name. You want us? Should we do it?
Yeah, write it down.
Tell somebody. I'll do a guy sitting here.
Write it down.
Should we do it? Should we try that?
I just don't get
my guy. You say your guy. No, man, who said I'll get the guy? You know? Nobody has a monopoly.
You practice that.
Nobody has a monopoly in Eves HaToychachos. Nobody has a monopoly. It has to be a person who really is so seeking truth that when you tell him something, he really wanted to hear it. And by the way, he really appreciated hearing it. That's not a simple... That's tough, no, Hoodie? That's... You're not allowed to look around because you look at a guy, you're like, oh, you go to the next guy's dangerous. It's too dangerous to play this game. It's like a dangerous game. That's the Teichel. We'll go around. Like, okay. Somebody who loves Teichacha, who has touched that seeking of truth, that when you tell them something difficult, they're like appreciative. That means something to me. It hurts, but to come to that place, you're a seeker of truth, to come to that place that I really want the truth. I don't want to just live in my own bubble. I want the objective truth because I want to live a good life. I want to be a truthful person. That's a hard place to be. Good question, Hudi. It's a good thing. To say the compliment on a friend, he's an Oves HaToychacha, you like said the biggest praise in the world on the guy. You like, should we try to be mechavin? I'm not doing with you, Hudi. Too many guys will be bad. I'm not putting my son in that place. Why didn't you say me? And guys are going to walk around with this. Like, it's like, whoa, I don't know. What'd you say? Yeah. I'm not saying a name. It's too precious. No, it's too bad. I could pick many names. Honestly, when I thought about it, there were too many names. So I could say a name as a mushel, but there are too many names. I actually think there's such sincerity here that most of the yeshiva fits this. So to pick one guy out, a guy could be exemplary. It's not worth it enough to insult another guy. I'm also that way. So it's not worth it enough. I want to say that it's probably a big mark of the yeshiva. When I call this a sincere place, authentic place, I'm talking about this. Do it make sense? You know what I'm talking about? I'll be honest, I'm very late to a chasna, to a meeting I have in Lakewood. I have two meetings and I'm late. I don't care. This topic is something I need the guys to absorb. This is not by accident. This is not by accident. It's on my mind and my dream for every guy here. If you could be that guy who stops being self-absorbed with an alternative reality, then we succeeded. If you could be a person who plugs in, who's such a mivakish emes, that I want to hear a different perspective. And I'm willing to absorb, and I'm willing, then the whole yeshiva was successful. Then we nailed it, Yisrael. You hear what I'm saying? Yeah. People are capable. We're capable. Can a guy have a perfect marriage without this? The better you have this, the better marriage. Can a guy be a good father? The better you have this, the better father. The better you're good at this, you're a more magical father because you're open to another perspective. You're open to, like, you're expansive. Ask.
It's not a good question. It might be on the top of the question.
Now we all want to hear.
Tell us someone that's not.
Shmuel said there's so many guys to pick. Do you mind Kalish picking one guy who's not this and singling him out? No. I know I won't do it.
You know, it's good to know
Rebbezi's asking
if the Mishnah says to love Teichacha, it doesn't say to accept Teichacha. Fascinating Mishnah. I just want you to know, Herschel, what Mishnah we just studied. We just studied, this is Torah Be'iyun. We just learned Be'iyun Rab, my friends. Morty, Yomi, Yassel, we just learned Torah Be'iyun. We learned, I want you to know what Mishnah we just studied. You know, this is a place that we don't do a lot inside. We just studied words Be'iyun Rav. If somebody would open up a Masechta Avos, no, you don't have to see it, so I'll read it. It's the sixth Perek in Avos. In the sixth Perek in Avos. Now, to give the name of the Mishnah can't be done, because we don't have an exact, different versions have different what Mishnah it is. But it's the sixth Perek of Avos, and what some versions have as the sixth Mishnah, it lives 48 things that are necessary to be Torah Dikah people. And one of them, right smack dab in the middle, it's like right in the middle, is Oyev Es HaToychachos, one who loves rebukes. Now some people ask, that it shouldn't say rebukes, it should say rebuke. It says plural. It should say, Oyev es ha-toychacha, loves rebuke. Doesn't say one. It says, loves toychachais, rebukes, plural. That's a big kasha. Why it says, love rebukes, plural? I do not have an answer right now. It's another time. Maybe we'll analyze that. I'm asking a different kasha. Why does it say to love rebuke, say to accept rebuke? That was the question. If we were studying inside today, if you want the people like, give me a vert. So if you want the question and answer that we address today, is a kash on a Mishnah and others. Perek Vav, Mishnah Vav, says one kinyan atayr is oyev es ha-toychacha, is to love rebuke. I'd say love, accept rebuke. And the answer, what we're suggesting today, rebuke stings. The Mishnah wasn't lost, and we all hate rebuke. You read this Mishnah, like, schlugged up, hand in your yarmulke, you're done. The Mishnah says, in order to learn Torah, love rebuke. I'm out. Love rebuke. You kidding me? The Mishnah's not pretending. Rebuke. I'm talking when a guy tells you the most sensitive thing in your life, you're supposed to love it. I'm not saying accept it. Love it. So we all like, that's it, out of the Beis Medrash. What I'm saying is that we have a place in us that wants Hashem, that wants Emes. If we could tap into that place that wants objective truth, that place loves rebuke. Not accepts rebukes. That place is like, I was waiting for this. Thank you. Thank you. To be very secure, you have to know you're good. We're striving not just to accept rebuke, to love it. Thank you. Thank you. I have seen guys here who I've told hard things, the guys have appreciated. Thank you. I want it, I need it. But not just thank you. It's easy to say thank you when you don't cheshbon it, or you just ignore it and you stay in your... Well, I'm talking about guys like, whoa, an alternate reality was exploded a little bit. Guy says, whoa. Recalibrates and like is open to more. That's Oyev Es HaToychachos. I really appreciate it. Now, it hurt also. You hurt me. I need, give me a little... We have different parts. If Ezi asks, what's the sign Es HaToychacha? The answer is that's very normal. We all know what hating rebuke is. We all, that's me and you. But Oyev Es HaToychacha is to tap into that other place. So a sign Es HaToychacha, we all can relate. It's when you're tapped into a very, very big insecurity, your whole essence is up for measurements, then you just hate Teichacha, it schlugged you up. But if Oyev Es HaToychacha is tapping into in order to learn Torah, you have to be an Oyev Es HaToychacha, love, rebuke. You have to have a bikush for emes. Think about a person like that, what it looks like when they learn Torah. It's a different world. I want the truth. Bring it. I can learn Kibbut Avim. I really like, whoa. Like, and I could be, I don't have to, people run forward. Whenever you talk about Kibbut Avim, if you ever are giving a lecture and you want everybody to come around you at the end, everybody tries to make sure after the shiur that they're not schlugged up. What about my parent? Okay, I hear. We all have a lot of, like, after the shiur, am I schlugged up? You say, you're not schlugged up. It's, hey, there's a truth that we want to work towards and work at and get to. You're not schlugged up. You're not done. Nobody's ever schlugged you up. You're a big soul. Can't schlug up a soul. So, you know, you talk certain topics, people run up to make sure they're okay. How about we're okay before? Hey, we're just okay. And then we can actually study something. It's okay. I love whenever something gets to lateness. The eagle, I pounded the eagle this week. You know why? Because I spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu being late. And that's like good incentive to me. So I want to show off to the guys. I want to like at least like work towards. I'm not a faker. I try not to be. I want to work towards Eves HaTechachem. Me studying the eagle is like, I am a Levi. So on the one hand, like, it's not so sensitive. But any sugya of somebody being late and like discovering all the problems that a late man caused... It's like, oh, no. There's a Gemara, one of my favorite Gemaras in Shas, at the end of Sukkah. One of the Mishmarim of Kehanim was punished because Yeshayveh was punished, a Shaya lover. They used to come late to their task. You learn that Gemara, and Keresh says, I'm sweating. I'm like, want to say like some shot. What it means is, no, it's talking about somebody who's like a little late. Disorganized. It's not good to be late, my friends. I admire Moshe Schweiner in the morning. Aaron Smilowitz is here on time. He's right. I'd like to work to get more timely. We should start more in time. I should be there where that like, Be'ez Hashem. Be'ez Hashem. We'll get there. We'll get there. Okay, I said that I want to say. What?
Accepting what someone says. It's not really working through what you're supposed to be working through. It's just like, okay, someone told me to change, and I'm going to change. It's not really the goal, no?
I like what you said a lot. It's funny. Shlomo said, if I'm hearing Shlomo right, I think he said something brilliant. He said, accepting rebuke, you're just like, then you're people pleasing that. We're like, loving rebuke means my mission is truth.
Wow.
So he said, you could accept rebuke and you're not even right. Like somebody told you off, so you're like, okay, let me behave different. He said, it's not what it's saying, like accepting rebuke where people mock you, so you're like, okay, so I have to change. He said, if you accept rebuke and don't love the rebuke, you're off. You're not. Is that what I'm? Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's brilliant. I think when we tap into a place of honesty, that we actually like, we just want to, like, we're interested in the pursuit of truth. So we'll love it. It's not a bit, you can, like, pander to others. Is that the word pander? What? Could somebody look up what the word pander means? I've used it twice today, and I want to make sure I'm... Yisrael, could you look up the word pander? Who has Shlomo? You have a Shlomo. Please translate. If I got it wrong, no. Shlomo, the word pander.
Gratify or distasteful desire, need or habit, or a person with such desire.
To pander, I think, is almost to flatter somebody else. But you're pandering to somebody. You're just doing it like to please somebody. That's how I understand pander. Is that a correct way to use it? Daniel, is that what pandering means? Is it you're sort of like just flattering and playing for a crowd? It's not what you believe. So he's saying that if you just listen to rebuke, maybe you're pandering to a group. It's not about like listening. It's about loving. It means I just want the truth. I'm not like listening, accepting it. It's not what it is.
I'm gonna pander this at your face.
So now it is the word of the day. Now that we maybe have gotten
here.
You
say it.
Say it loud.
Word of the day.
Fantastic. What is the say that? What is say the word?
Pander's word of the day. It means that like when someone like makes you do something,
flattering, doing to play for the crowd.
Like now,
he's pandering to that. Good call. I want to close with something. I'm like, once this overtime, I do want to close with something. If I can have the guys for two more minutes, you're late to Mincha. There's a tournament supposed to be happening. I'm late to a wedding. We're all doing equally. No. So, but I wanna close, and I'm saying this to tempt you to come in the morning, not to guilt, not to shame, to tempt you. I've been coming to Shachris the last couple of weeks in Yeshiva, trying to come. And the matzav is absolutely stunning. I'm saying to tempt you to come. You come in the morning. This morning, there was, I counted, there were about 30 precious souls here, and the sincerity in the room of people coming. They're not incentivized. They're not punished. Of people coming to pray, and we all have trouble. It's funny. I don't say minute by minute. We're all like sitting in it. Where's Hootie? I want Hootie to hear this. Is Hootie around? I want to tell you something interesting. In a father-son, all of us want like deep conversations, and we want to like connect in a deep way. There's something, the deepest thing in the world also. And a father and son are just hanging, but dad and son, there's something cool about it. There's something to tap in. Certainly you want to be able to have a deep conversation. Certainly the hard conversation, my father would be with me. But isn't there something beautiful just hanging, father and son? And that's all of us could have. And by the way, there are times and cases we can't tap into the deep. I see in the prayers in the morning, I don't say that the whole time or even some of the time or how much of the time I'm plugged in. I would love by davening to be having this intimate conversation with God. There was an overall thing, every guy came to the room to pray. Just like in a sincere way, a room full of people, like praying to Hashem. Even we space out, even the guys like I saw this morning, some guys on their phone, why is he here? Nobody gave an incentive. Nobody, and people came because they want to pray to Hashem. There's such a beauty in the room. I want to invite everybody to join for a simple thing, to pray to Hashem, to talk to Hashem. By the way, even if you don't get into the deepest conversation, come join. Come join. It's very, very beautiful. I thank the guys, all the guys, a beautiful chevra here. I invite everybody. I just say, come and look around the room with people who came like with no agenda, with no stress, with no... And it's very... This morning, I was like very, very moved. We said to him, Fry Overlander here, I felt he was involved in building the place, and the minyan was one of the most sincere minyanim I've ever seen in my life. Just like sincerity, a group of people who got up earlier than they're used to and got up to pray. Like no strings, no nothing. No, it was just so nice and so precious, so important. There's something like precious about that. Certainly we want to plug into the deep conversation. But dad and son just being together, no more. I find that we all want to plug into the deep. And I love sometimes, and as much times I can by davening, to like plug in. Ray Brownstein runs the minyan. I assume for a day like today, like all the work, I can't speak for your work, but I look at the yeshiva, and Ray Brownstein gives his life for this. For a minyan like this morning, of just a lot of people who came to daven, that was stunning. I invite, join in. Join in, come for the sole reason to pray, to plug in. You might be zeichel that day to have like the best conversation and to bond with your dad, and it might just be you and dad. You came like to be able to spend some time, to be around. There's something very cool about it. All are invited. Without further ado, let's dive in.